Dan Le Batard.
Baby wipes, game changer.
Stugatz.
We all owe you a thank you on that.
I know you do.
I have thanked you several times.
Yes, you do. Everyone, bow down, genuflect before me for changing your life. Change your life. This show will change your life.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Sign up for ESPN Plus for live daily coverage of the Masters. Plus, Michael Collins continues his journey across the country in a new episode of his original series, America's Caddy, covering the Masters and interviewing golf's biggest stars only on ESPN Plus.
All right, so this weekend has been a long time ago. And our show has gotten lost this week.
We're closer to this weekend than we are to last weekend.
Yes. And so, so forgive us that we have a sponsored segment here that we haven't gotten to that we need to get to today, which is funniest thing from the sports weekend that was many days ago. But before we do that, here is Christine Lisi, because we can't do anything rhythmically and it's all disjointed and it's just floppy. Thank you.
And finally, chickens have the ability to recognize sexually attractive humans.
No. Christine. Wow. That is... No. Where are you getting your information?
I have very high-level sources in the organization.
All right. Very good. Who's a source on this? Greenberg? Mike Greenberg? He loves to... Okay, I'm sorry. Just put those kazoos away for a little while. There are a number of different things I want to talk about here. Chris Cody he's got a raging Butler debate, movie Butler, television Butler, the greatest Butler of all time. Mm-hmm. We got to get to Tua and Herbert. That's a fun one this weekend. Mina Kimes is not a betting favorite, but is being considered something that can be bet on as the next Jeopardy host. That is a weird thing. She's like, what, plus 24? 100?
Yep. Where are my odds at?
You're not listening.
You have to be able to speak, and you have to read occasionally.
I love Mina. I would say I love Mina more than anyone else at this network. I'm a huge supporter of hers. She would be so bad at that. I mean, Alex Trebek is like the most polished television person, and I think Mina's appeal is that she's like super green.
Isn't it... clearly going to beat Ken Jennings, and I don't think...
Oh, no, Stephanopoulos is angling for this, according to reports.
He sure is. Plus, I think Jennings has other plans to do another game show. He does.
I've got to apologize here. We're not allowed to talk. This is something we do in sports all the time, about the replacement before we've actually talked about the passing. I feel like that is
soon. I'm sorry, it's been a while.
It's indelicate, obviously, and Alex Trebek...
You know, he wrote a book during this pandemic, knowing how much time he had. That'd be like the last thing I want to do.
Oh,
but
my God.
He did it for his fans. And there was an excerpt. I was watching GMA and they did an interview while he was promoting the book about how he reassembled this bench. And he would spend so much of his evening just sitting, looking at the horizon with his wife. He has children with his wife. And he would just spend his time looking at the sunset.
Enjoying. I mean, look, man, I don't know anything about what it is like to obviously die slowly in a way that you know you're dying. Pancreatic cancer is a monster. Like, it's a death sentence, and he lasted a lot longer than any of us expected to and looked so well still working that it was strange to see, Stugatz, that he looked good on television. And you're like, man, pancreatic cancer is a death sentence. You don't come back from that one. It's like the worst one. And the idea that he looked healthy and vibrant and continued to work at that rate, I imagine that he was enjoying life's smallest pleasures because he was staring mortality in the face in a way we all could see.
It's amazing how great he looked. It's even more amazing how great he performed, because his staff, Mike, I saw that as well. They said there were days where they thought, no shot, he cannot go out there. And every single day they thought that he went out there, and when the lights went on, he was Alex again.
There is something interesting about sort of the adrenaline of television and performing that performers will tell you can be a vibrant sort of power cord that can carry you through some stuff, even if you're exhausted.
He also said, which is amazing perspective, because you know the end is near, that he said there'll never be more interest in me than there is right now. So the reason I wrote the book was to, you know, drive a lot of money and create a lot of money for a particular charity.
I saw contributions to that charity by early this week. It was already at $500,000.
Mike is still right, though. Like, one of the last things you'd want to do, I would imagine. I understand you sort of start doing some bookkeeping on your legacy and whatnot. You want to leave a record.
Sure.
But I think the act of sitting down and spending what you know are precious minutes. You know it so much that you sit on a bench and just stare at the sunset, sort of appreciating life so you can feel the warmth of the sun and the beauty of living. To spend that time with the loneliness of writing a book, like that, that seems a bit crazy to me. Mike, can you help me with something? Because I don't know this movie Money Plane you've been talking about.
Oh, how do you not know about Money Plane? Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for this movie. I almost bought it on pay-per-view. This movie, do you know any of the backstory? Okay. This movie was one of these great action movies that's meant for direct-to-DVD, straight-to-video, that type of deal. So it's supposed to be a little campy. It stars Edge, the WWE superstar, not the guitar player from U2, although that would rock too. Kelsey Grammer, who plays a villain called The Rumble.
And oddly an expendable at one point, right? Kelsey Grammer. That's one of the strangest casting in the history of casting.
Yeah. So it stars Edge, who I'm actually very disappointed with how his role turned out, but I digress. Kelsey Grammer.
Right.
And then the film has the director has the last name of Lawrence. Okay, a common last name. But then I start recognizing Joseph Lawrence and Matthew Lawrence from Mrs. Doubtfire. This was like a whole nepotism deal with the Lawrences, and I'm here for it because I loved it. Basically, one last heist, right? You know the rules, one last heist.
I love that.
The Rumble's like, you didn't steal this painting from me, so like you got to go on this casino plane that apparently they take passports. I had all sorts of questions, right?
Was it dumb? Are you really celebrating it because it was good?
Yeah,
or are you celebrating it because it was dumb?
It flew.
I got it.
Yeah. Not the joke. 90 minutes.
And if my machine were working here with the loser game show sound, I would have hit it.
It was incredible. So basically, the whole premise behind the casino plane, this money plane, is that you can go on here. It goes in international airspace and anything goes. In fact, one of the guys says, if you want to bet on a guy bleeping an alligator, money plane. That's what the Rumble says. That's a direct quote from Kelsey Grammer. And you come to find out that, yeah, it's kind of like that. You get to over under 17 seconds after somebody gets bitten by a King Cobra snake. So, you know, hilarity ensues. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
Amazingly bad? Or
Yeah. It's bad, but
good.
Great. It's bad, but
right.
Great. Mm-hmm. And it's on Hulu now. So get that Disney Plus bundle, get Hulu, and watch Money Plane, because I want sequels. I want Money Cruise next.
But it seems like Kelsey fits in this particular role. In fact, he was born for it, because he is wearing a suit, smoking a cigar. Like, it just seems like the perfect role for Kelsey Grammer.
Is this role beneath Frasier? Like, or is he...
He's perfect for it, and you'd think he'd mail it in. Not Frasier Crane. Also, he has also found the secret to aging well, because he's looked 60 years old for 40 years.
That's so true. Billy had an objection there during the book writing talk. What was your objection, Billy? You gave us skeptical sour Billy face, and I always want to go to skeptical sour Billy face.
Well, no, you guys are saying that the worst thing that you can do while you're dying is write a book, and I didn't want to open that up for debate because Alex Trebek, God rest his soul, passed away. But the last thing I'd want to do is go to the dentist if I was dying. That seems like the worst thing.
That is the last thing. Let's think about this for a second.
That seems like a relatively pointless endeavor as well.
If you knew you were dying, right? I mean, it's the thing you would give up.
I'm not
correct?
Here for someone to tell me I should floss more.
Why
at that
waste
point?
Time at the dentist?
What's it gonna do? I'm dying. What's it going to do? Right. Kill me that I'm not flossing?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm actually, yeah.
Well,
you
gum
know
disease, Dan Barry.
Yeah, really? Tartar?
Gingivitis.
Gingivitis. All right. Funniest thing from the sports weekend, three or four days late, is coming up next.
Don Levitard.
Texter writes in the eighth grade, I tried out for the high school football team. There was a halfback sweep to the right, and just like the Bengals punter, I didn't see the lead blocker.
Stugatz.
Shortly thereafter, I became a 6-foot tennis player.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. We'll get to conversational in a second, but it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
What do we got going on this week with the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network? Mike Ryan, where did you put that conversation that we had with Method Man? Is that coming out?
That is on South Beach Sessions. That came out yesterday. Make sure to check that out. An amazing hip-hop revelation made by Method Man within that interview. Also, I want to give love again to our guest today, Marty Smith, putting out an episode a day from Augusta.
Golfers are going to eat that stuff
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you want your Masters, and the Masters has an appeal that surpasses just golf fans. This is a tradition unlike any other, right?
Yep.
So check out Marty Smith's America this week, putting out a new episode every day from Augusta.
How about stupidity, Stugatz? What's going on with stupidity?
We're a bit delayed. We are still sitting on Stone Gossard. No one's ever heard of him. but today we'll be recording.
Never mind.
Just never mind. Please, just give it another proper.
Just keep watching the Masters.
Never mind.
It's fine.
Larry Mize -2, former champion.
What's going on with Mystery Crate? Who can tell me something about what's going on with Mystery Crate, Tony?
Dano, we've got the third edition of Let's Eat, where I go around Miami and talk to famous chefs, and one of them's coming out on Friday.
All right. Thank you.
I love those, Tony. Thank you for doing that.
And Stugatz, thank you for being you.
Yeah,
because
I'm getting around to that Stone Gossard interview. I mean, I'm like a dog with a bone with this.
I thought Chris was hosting stupidity. What happened?
You have been terrible. Yep. Okay, today, and just go back to watching your Masters coverage, and just let me finish the show. Just let me finish today.
I'm a bit distracted. Larry Mize happens every year. Former champion, Masters champion, -2. He'll be in first place for a few holes. I will tell you this: Larry Mize is welcome on my leaderboard anytime. Okay. That's the beauty of the Masters, Dan, where Larry Mize. Hadn't done anything in a decade, and all of a sudden he's leading a major after a couple of rounds. How about that?
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Is Larry Mize welcome on your leaderboard anytime? Let's do funniest thing from the sports weekend, please.
Hey, people, tell us what in the sport made you laugh hard this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend. Ha, ha, ha!
Funniest thing for the sports weekend is brought to you by Dell. Big news from Dell Technologies. Black Friday is here with deals up to 50% off small business computers with Intel Core processors to give your business an edge. Call 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/SB Black Friday.
Billy, what would you say was the single funniest thing from a weekend that ended several days ago?
Dan, after completing one pass for 12 yards in the Saints' 38-3 victory over the Buccaneers, Jameis Winston, once again, A to W.
He looks so skinny.
He really does.
It is crazy how out of shape he was in Tampa. I mean, because he looks super fit, and I don't know whether fat has anything to do with the throwing of interceptions, but I do know that Tampa looks very different with him not out there throwing those fat interceptions. Mike, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Well, keep in mind, the pandemic is not funny, but circumstances and maybe tax laws have forced the Toronto Raptors to look for a new home. It was reported yesterday that probably New Jersey, because its proximity to not just Toronto, but other cities. But now a new front runner has emerged. Get ready for the Tampa Raptors.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Kind of counterintuitive to leave Canada at this point and go to the state of Florida for pandemic reasons, but they're doing this for tax purposes, it appears.
Isn't Canada just a great deal safer than the United States at the moment in terms of this virus?
Like numbers would say
so. By leaps and bounds. Roy, what do you think was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
People complaining that Notre Dame and Clemson went to overtime because everybody wanted to see Dave Chappelle on SNL.
He was so good.
He was reviewing every play in that game. Every play got reviewed.
It was a classic, though, wasn't it?
My eyes were so heavy.
We have not talked about how great Chappelle was on Saturday Night Live, man. Good God. That whole Saturday, that right there, because Saturday Night Live is always best when it is vibrant in America in terms of politics, that was a throwback Saturday Night Live where they had some serious star power on that show, and Chappelle was just exceptional. I just saw, because I was bored and because I'm running out of things to watch, I went back, I'm watching Chappelle's show again. He came out of the box so strong with that first episode. Like, you're always hearing me talk.
A lot of that stuff is so jarring now when you watch it back, too.
You are always hearing me talk about a show needs to find its voice. He told everybody what he was going to be doing right off the bat. First episode, just in your face, and it's like, whoa, I have not seen anything like this. Tony, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Dan, if you thought it was Philip Rivers or if you thought it was the Chargers, you're right. It's actually both of them. I've got two funniest things. One was Philip Rivers on his back trying to tackle a Ravens defensive.
That was amazing.
My bad, Chris. Is that yours? My bad. The other one was the Chargers also blowing another lead. So it's both of them just being a disaster.
Okay. So, Chris, we heard what yours was. And the Philip Rivers thing was amazing because
yeah, there's some vibes jumping off the screen when you're watching Philip Rivers right now, and that little sequence did not help.
Philip Rivers turning around on an interception to try and make the tackle, tripping over his own feet, and then the guy with the football simply jumping over him, and Philip Rivers
capable. He could have went around him, too. I think he did that on purpose.
Well, but, Mike, you say he could have gone around him, except I believe that he had done some advanced scouting, and he knew that Philip Rivers wasn't going to do the stomach crunch necessary to tackle him. All Philip Rivers needed to do was sit up. And that play would have ended. Sit up with your arms over your head, and that play would have ended. Instead, Philip Rivers is so creeping and creaking and fossilized at this point that he just laid on his back. It was amazing.
The play would have ended. It looks like his career is ending.
I do not believe that there was a funnier play this weekend anywhere in sports than that one. Stugatz, what do you have in terms of funny things from the sports weekend?
The Hurricanes have a turnover chain. Oregon State has a turnover chain saw.
Oh, I'm done with all of these copycats. It is so lame
now.
I
saw someone in the Mac had a 50-pound wrench.
It's just so stupid at this point. Honest to God, you know what? We're headed to the place where one of these teams, like Liberty, is going to win, and you're going to go over there, and there's the famous Liberty Bell severed human head that they show, that they bring out on turnovers.
The Bells.
Can you guys tell me the name of the North Carolina State kicker who did the crotch shot at the Miami sideline after making a field goal, only to have the team then lose the game?
I think that's his legal name now.
It should be.
Don Levitard.
How much does the watch cost, Ludacris? How much?
I don't know. I got it for free. That's a good question.
Stugatz.
That's an indelicate question, right? You don't ask a woman what she weighs, and you don't ask a hip-hop star what his jewelry's worth, do you?
That's why he let me ask this question.
You really don't.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Aqua? Guest on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line today on ESPN Daily. As we make our way through the Major League Baseball offseason, Jeff Passan joins the show to bring us the latest on news from around the league. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Stugatz, we've got to get to some things here before we close out the show. But first, Christine Lisi, please continue.
And finally, a 91-year-old woman who was stranded for two full days after falling at her home ate plant soil in order to survive. Doctors told the woman she had maybe six more hours to live.
Good Lord, Christine. Christine, what?
I'd rather do that than write a book, though. Being honest.
Okay. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. What would you rather do, write a book at the end of your life or eat plant soil with 6 hours left to live?
Plant soil does at times look pretty delicious.
That is not true.
No, you haven't been to Eating House, the Dirt Cup?
What?
I have not been to Eating House and had the Dirt Cup, but again,
it's made to look like a house plant.
But that's not plant soil.
Yeah, but it's like chocolatey chunks. It's really good.
So I wanted to talk to you guys about something here because I think one of the real fun stories of the sports weekend coming up, as opposed to the one that we've covered exhaustively from last weekend, is that you've got Tua against Herbert this weekend. And even though Brady and Breeze and Roethlisberger are still out here. Roethlisberger still scrambling like a skyscraper with legs. The future has arrived, and you just saw, you saw Tua take what looks a lot like Kyler Murray's best punch and beat him in Arizona. The Dolphins have won four straight. They have become, for the first time in maybe two decades, because of Tua, a national team instead of a regional one. It feels like that team is a playoff team. The schedule of that team would seem to aid them to become a playoff team, and they will certainly be a playoff team if Tua is what he was against Arizona.
Especially with expanded playoffs this year. So it appears.
But they just look like a good team. They look like a legitimately good defense, and Tua hasn't had a turnover yet. And what the part that I wanted to talk to you about, though, is because Herbert's not doing any winning. Herbert, though, good God, the talent jumps off the television screen. And to me, it jumps off the television screen in a way that it does even more obviously than Burrow. Because what I'm used to seeing from that position before this most recent revolution and evolution at the position is a big, tall, scrapping, athletic guy, pocket present, who gets back there and throws the ball deep and throws the ball effortlessly and has a flowing mane of hair that makes him look like you would want to get on his shoulders and ride him into the horizon for eternity as a sports fan. Just ride him like a horse, like a stallion.
Never ending story dog dragon thing.
Justin Herbert looks the part in every way, throwing the ball down the field. And as impressive as Tua looked, and I do not want to diminish what is a great enthusiasm at that position, the best they've had here since Dan Marino. You're talking about 30 damn years without anybody who could play that position. But Tua was doing most of the stuff he was doing because he's so accurate, shorter. It didn't feel like the same kind of deep threat where every time. Now, the skill position guys that the Chargers have, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, are guys that are deep threats and they're scary. And the Dolphins
they have Devontae Parker.
They have Parker and that's strong, but it's not Tua throwing the ball down the field. Anyway, the thing I wanted to ask Billy and Chris, who are super enthusiastic about this, is, was it diluted for you? Has everyone celebrated the excellence of Tua, the accuracy, the game-winning drive late, the composure, the scrambling around from within the pocket athletically when it looked like he would be sacked?
The only thing I'll say is the quarterback that he was playing against, Kyler Murray, also jumps off the screen, and Tua went head-to-head with him and beat him on the road.
But did it little differently, though.
Did it
even that drive? They needed penalties. It's shorter passes. It's accurate passes. Again, I don't mean it as a diminishment. I'm just talking about two different styles of play, and the Chargers are losing all these games. But Herbert is playing a style, Stugatz, that you're like, holy bleep, this guy, he's a threat 4 yards away from you and 40 yards away from you, and you're scared immediately that he's going to drop back and it's going to be a problem. So you tell me, Billy, how you experienced that Tua game against Arizona.
Tua looks great, Dan. He was running. He's not one of these quarterbacks that slides feet first, which is pretty dangerous. He should probably start sliding feet first. But this Tua, Dan, undefeated. I don't know if you know this. He's won both of his starts so far, and he's won every game that he's been a part of. 3-0 for Tua so far. What is this Herbert that you love so much done record-wise? Nothing. What does he have? One win? Two wins?
I feel like we're going to read way too much into this game. Like, Stugatz is going to come in here Monday, and whoever wins that game is going to be the better quarterback. And we need to pump the brakes on that. I'm with you. Tua has been a lot less flashy than Herbert. But he hits you with, you said it, Dan, composure and accuracy. I need to get ahead of Stugatz and all the people out there that are going to be in my menchies if the Chargers happen to win this game. This is a marathon here, not a sprint.
Did you see what he did with the game ball there, Dan? Brian Flores tried to give it to him. He gave it to Brian Flores. He tried to give it back. He said, no, coach, that's for you.
There are two different types of quarterbacks in the NFL now. So there's still the statuesque Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Herberts, and then there's the Tuas and the Kyler Murrays and guys like that. And so, no, Chris, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to say whoever wins the game has the better quarterback, although I've lied before and I'll probably lie again. Perhaps I will do it on Monday, but I was impressed with both guys. In fact, I think we are staring squarely at the best quarterback class in the history of the NFL. I had three guys who have passed
the
this.
Of God. I'm not going to overreact to this weekend, but I'm just going to overreact to the two games Tua has played, one of which is a total non-starter in terms of being able to do play evaluation.
I've been doing the sniff test since I was a kid. It's basically just how does the guy look in a uniform before he even throws a ball, right? Does he look like he belongs? And all three of these guys do. Burrow, Herbert, and Tua. I'm telling you, and Dan, you missed the shimmy. You missed it. I mean, you missed it. His ability to run, the shimmy, the fake, get a couple extra yards, a big first down. Tua is amazing. I'm not certain Tua won't be the best of this class.
I can't stop thinking about Justin Herbert as Falcor from The NeverEnding Story. I had a really large crush on the Empress in that film. And it's one of those that I watch it back as an adult and I feel creeped out. But I have to remember, no, Mike, you were 8 years old when you saw The Empress back then. You could recall back to that crush and live in that moment. But it's so weird. You have anything like that, Dan?
Stugatz, degrees to which the sniff test works are what? In terms of, does someone either, is it pass fail on sniff test or are the degrees of sniff test?
No, it's pass-fail. It's do you look like you belong in the NFL or not?
So hold on a second, though. What if I were to compare the three guys? One of them can't pass the sniff test better than the others?
No. They all pass the sniff test. You think Justin Herbert looks the best in
Sniff test evaluations. Yeah. I'm saying when that guy drops back to pass athletically, that's a guy that I'm looking at and I'm saying, whoa, that looks more impressive to me than what I'm seeing from Joe Burrow.
Right. No.
That's the eye test, not the sniff test.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me the difference.
Well, you saw it with your eyes. You looked better than someone else, not the sniff test. That's the eye test.
Right.
And so there aren't degrees on the sniff test?
Not the sniff test. No,
you sniff around, you know, and then you determine whether or not the quarterback's going to be good, and it's 100% accuracy. It's never been wrong. So,
can you pass? Okay, but there are degrees to the eye test then, Billy? You would allow for the fact that passing the eye test, that can be done differently by each quarterback?
Well, there's different eye tests. There's the one with the big letter E, and there's the one that you look to see if you see the hot air balloon. There's different eye tests. There's the one that they shoot the spray of puff in your eye. So there's different eye tests. This one has degrees, it appears.
Yeah.
And so who passes that eye test from among the three the best?
Oh, wow. Well, we'll find out on Sunday, won't we?
We will. Yes, we will. Only two of the three, right? Yeah. Or are we going to throw Burrow?
Burrow's not in contention on the
eye
test.
They're not playing each other?
Correct.
Because he's not in the game, because he's playing in a different game?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad you guys explained that to me.
Don Lebatard.
Let's go to 80.
His name is Bo.
Wow. I think Billy typed an 8 instead of a B. Fine.
It's a clear as day, Bo.
All right. $2.
Stugatz.
Number 80. Wow, go ahead. It's Chris Corner on the line. CC, go ahead.
This is the Don Lebatar Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices.
So Chris is just as interested in the Masters as Stugatz is, and he's celebrating that Bryson DeChambeau, a genuine villain. Golf has a genuine villain. Yep. The other guys don't like him on the tour. He hits the ball 400 yards. Didn't he? What happened today off the first tee? Didn't he hit the ball even though it was raining or it was wet? Didn't he hit a 3-wood 320 yards right next to the cup?
He hit a 3-wood 325 yards on the 10th hole. Some guys are teeing off from 10 today. Some guys teeing off from number one. But on a par 5, Bryson, big trouble, lost his ball, double bogey. So he is now +2. Early in the first round, very early, and the leaders are -3.
Was that on 13?
Yeah.
Oh, hellhole.
Yeah.
You, Stugatz, have bet at 28-1 long time ago. You and Mike Ryan got DeChambeau at a very good price, and you believe him when he says, is it documented that he can hit a golf ball 4 football fields? He says he could go 400 yards.
Yes.
Can he do that?
Well, I've seen him do it. So, yeah, he could certainly do it. He can carry the ball that far, which is even more incredible. It's not even on a roll. So, yeah.
And while the greens may be kind of wet out there after he tees off. They dry off, much like a helicopter flying directly over them.
It's dangerous, though, because distance is important at Augusta. There's no question. You can make the course shorter. Tiger did it. But the difference with Tiger was not just the distance. He was deadly accurate. And being in the fairways at Augusta is very, very important. So if Bryson is not accurate, he won't have a good tournament.
But are you telling me that Bryson DeChambeau is a creature in golf that has no precedent that could get on to a – or like a theoretically could get on to a par five in one shot?
I mean, yeah, he could. Certainly par fours in one shot. I mean, most guys are hitting, you know, 7, 6, 8 iron, 9 iron into the green. But Bryson – on the right hole, if it's set up, 415-yard par four, he can reach that in one shot.
But if you're telling me that he can hit it 400 yards in the air before he gets the momentum of the ball,
yep,
then you're telling me that he could get it on a green, a par five that's 500 yards, are you not?
If he gets the right roll, correct, yes. Yeah. If the fairways are soft, there's no way. If the fairways are rolling out, then yeah, I'm telling you, he could potentially do that, which is insane.
He'll break golf if he can do that. There's no precedent for that.
But you have to be accurate, too. That's the thing.
Most par fives these days are a lot longer than just 500 yards. So he's not reaching any par fives in one shot, but he's putting himself in a position on par fives where he's using a wedge in. So he's just like changing the game, where most guys are hitting woods and long irons on par fives. He's treating a par five like it's a short par four.
Right, Chris is right. Like you'll hit your driver or three wood, and the next shot will be like a 3 iron, 4 iron, 5 iron.
You know how much I love the idea of a guy who hits the ball further than everyone else being hated guy? Like that's
Barry Bonds.
Yes.
Yeah. That is, I'm trying to think of who was the guy, what was the name of the character opposite Adam Sandler?
Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin.
Yes.
Is that not the Shooter McGavin personality, but also I hit a ball like no one's ever hit a ball?
Well, because that's Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore would have it driving off
the tee. But I'm talking about Happy Gilmore.
It's like if you melded them.
Wasn't hated. It is. It's a melding.
Well, he was hated by the establishment, Dan.
Right.
Remember, he came in. He was a real rabble rouser.
But the fans loved him.
Yeah. I mean, he had no respect for the wardrobe.
He was putting with a hockey stick. Yeah.
But then he learned how to putt with that hockey stick, and then everyone knew that they were in
transformation.
Big trouble. Yeah. Oh, Happy learned how to putt.
At Levitar. Show,
but I think Bryson is your kind of golfer, Dan. Like, he's out there with a protractor. I mean, he applies science to this thing.
He's not actually out there with a protractor.
Mike, there was a time where he was out there with a protractor. They told him to put it away. Like, that's what he was doing. Yeah.
All his clubs are the same size.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's changed golf. Yeah, he would like Bryson.
He's changed it for the worse, because now a bunch of people go to the golf course trying to be Bryson DeChambeau.
And hitting it 4 football fields?
Yeah,
I'm going to get opposite direction. Crank it 4 football fields. At Lebatard Show, Stugatz on the polls. Let's zip through some of these today. At Lebatard Show, Mike, you need to play the sponsored portion of At Lebatard Show.
Yeah, now I'm beginning to realize what Stugatz was saying in my headphones when I wasn't wearing them. So give me
all right, well,
second.
We'll come back on that. Go ahead, Stugatz. Fault, start definitely. Reading some of them. Go ahead.
At Lebatard Show on Twitter, do you refer to buy one, get one free as BOGO? I mean, who does it? Well, 48% of the audience does it. 53% does.
The Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Great question here. During the pandemic, do you have indoor clothes and outdoor clothes? Billy does. 55% of the audience agrees with Billy. They say yes. How about that? Do you wipe down your dog after coming back in from a walk if a stranger petted as a safety precaution? Billy does that.
It's a big vote for you, Billy. I thought it was hand sanitizer you soaked your dog in. You explained that it's a vigorous scrubbing with wipes that fools Dopey into thinking he's being loved.
Yeah,
when he's being
getting scratchies.
Scratchy. 84% of the audience said no.
What?
I'm sorry. I was with you, Bill. McDonald's fries at the bottom of the bag. I dare you to name something better.
It's so true. It's right, so thank true. You. Yes or no?
Well, 52% of the audience said no.
What?
I don't know. What does that mean?
I mean, it means a lot of the audience is wrong. We've got more polls here to update. We'll do it in the postgame show because Stugat screwed up most of this segment paying attention to the Masters when we were talking about it and getting distracted.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.